Donald Trump turns 80 right in the middle of June, and this weekend we are watching the White House prepare for his celebrations. There's the ballroom, of course, a stage, exuberant decorations, and of course, a UFC octagon. I mean, what else would you expect?
One of the things that I love is the opportunity to pull off a one-of-one experience. If anybody had the opportunity to do something at the White House, why would you not do it? We always believed in the UFC and we always believed in the sport of MMA, but you can never dream of something like this.
It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And you might remember an episode we did back in March on how Trump has turned the Oval Office into a boxing ring, in a diplomatic sense, of course. Well, maybe he was listening, because on the 14th of June, that clever little metaphor we used actually turns into a reality. UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, will be holding its own celebration in the build-up to America 250 on July 4th with its own event, UFC Freedom 250, which actually is, of course, following on Donald Trump's birthday. Mr. Trump isn't stopping there. No, he's planning a temporary IndyCar street circuit racing past landmarks, including the Washington Monument and the US Capitol, which will take place in August. The temporary UFC arena, though, that will hold more than 4,000 people. And the White House Ellipse Grounds, that's going to host a UFC Freedom 250 fan fest where 75,000 to 100,000 people can come to watch the fights for free. And my favourite little detail, the weigh-ins, they're going to take place at the Lincoln Memorial. Now, this might seem bizarre, but it's telling, I think, of a very close, genuine relationship, it appears, between UFC President Dana White and Donald Trump. It also speaks to the US President's own clear appreciation of the sport. But where did it all begin? And if there is a kind of a strategy here with this joint partnership, what exactly is it? Well, joining me to discuss all of this, I'm joined now by Pete C. Carroll from Uncrowned and Yahoo Sports. You're very welcome to News Talk Daily, Pete C.
Hello, Ciara. Thanks for having me.
So look, I think we're going to have to start at the very beginning for any of our News Talk Daily listeners who haven't Googled White House Octagon in the last couple of days. Describe the scene there at the minute. Paint me a picture of what's happening on the lawn.
So to have a fight on the White House lawn on the 250th birthday of America, no other sport would make sense. The team is always willing to do whatever it takes to pull off impossible feats.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You are about to see something that you have never seen before.
The impossible stuff is the stuff that gets me up in the morning. You saw the first book. That was just sort of the idea of what we wanted to do. Now this is the reality.
Well, it's very interesting, actually. I saw the Democratic Party, obviously the opposition to the Republican Party, Trump's Republican Party, put out an image yesterday, a kind of a side-by-side. I guess one of the images they're putting out is during Joe Biden's reign, and it's an unbothered landscape, the White House in the foreground. And then on the other hand, you have this construction site of the aforementioned big, beautiful ballroom. And then on the lawn itself, you have this massive claw, they're calling it, which is going to sit over the octagon, the UFC's octagon, when they put on this event on June 14th. Obviously, it looks very, very different. I guess the Democratic Party are putting out to kind of underline the chaotic nature of this presidency, of this tenure. And it certainly looks like that with all the construction that's going down. The UFC are expecting to have 4,000 people at this event. And as you mentioned, Dana White said in a recent interview with Rolling Stone that he's expecting 100,000 people to pass through the Ellipse over the weekend. It is a huge deal for the UFC. This is out of the ordinary for the UFC. The UFC is a well-oiled machine. They put on 40 events a year. All of them seem very like each other. There's no other indication of where they are, depending on where they are in the globe. Everything kind of looks the same because the production is such a well-oiled machine. This, on the other hand, is going to look very different. Dana White has been promising the biggest event of the year. There's been nearly a year-long countdown to this, with Donald Trump saying this would happen in July 2025. And even the executive producer, Craig Vasari, is living in Washington, D.C. until this gets over the line. So this is a massive undertaking for the UFC, and they have promised the biggest show ever. So now it's up to them to deliver.
And it looks like it's going to be, because it is this big hulking metal arena. It's out on the White House's South Lawn. It's the area people will have seen it before, because it's where the President's Marine One departs from. It's where he holds the annual Easter egg rolls and picnics. It's near the tennis and basketball court. So people might actually be a little bit familiar with this patch of land. Tell me, who is going to be fighting and who's going to be attending?
Well, I guess there's going to be a lot of people from Trump's orbit at the fight itself. Interestingly enough, I had a source reach out to me during the week, a person from the US. He inquired about getting tickets for this event. For four tickets, they were quoted $1.5 million for this event, and that would also get them tickets to the Conor McGregor comeback fight, which is happening in July in Las Vegas. But quite a pricey ticket for people who want to be there.
Sorry to cut across you, is that to be one of the 4,000 people in the arena, or is that to get into the fan fest? That's a premium.
That's the premium to get into the arena. At least I hope it is. I mean, you wouldn't be too happy sitting in the ellipse watching it on a TV after paying that amount of money. But yes, it all seems to be a package. And obviously with McGregor coming back, still the biggest draw, which is probably an indictment of the UFC and their inability to create stars since him. So that's all tied in together. But in terms of who is fighting on this card, the main event is Ilia Topuria v Justin Gaethje. Ilia Topuria is probably this generation's answer to McGregor in terms of his phenomenal talent. He is a Georgian man who lives in Madrid, and he's had a similar impact on the country in Spain, a kind of awakening to MMA, as McGregor did here back in the 2014 to 2016. It's interesting because they're pitting Ilia against Justin Gaethje, who is an American, in the main event, but absolutely nobody is really giving Justin Gaethje a chance here. There is a big chance that the event will end with an American face down on the map, because Ilia Topuria is an unbelievable knockout artist. In terms of the US fights there are a couple of fights pitting US fighters against US fighters. So obviously there is going to be US wins there. But on the outlook of it, there is not a lot of promising chances for the US when they're being put against other nations. So it could be a bad night for the US outside of the American v. American fights, and Sean O'Malley, which is one of their biggest stars as well, is fighting Canadian Ayman Zahabi. He'd probably be favoured to win that.
When you look at this, Pizzi, is this just a big spectacle? Does this speak to Trump and his showman streak, which goes way back to WWE? We remember him there, and he has had a long affiliation with the UFC. Or is there a different strategy here?
Yeah, I think it's more than that. It's not just his want to be a showman. Like this propped up Trump when he was running for election. Many times he appeared at UFC events and he got these massive ovations. I was actually at one of them in 2024, UFC 302, Dustin Poirier v. Islam Makhachev. And, you know, Donald Trump came out to Kid Rock's American Badass is the name of the song. And the place went absolutely insane. And I'm kind of in awe looking around going, hey, I've never seen a politician have this kind of impact on a room. And soon I was nearly being bowled over by The Situation from Jersey Shore, who was pummeling through people to try and get a video of him. So it's an incredibly bizarre scene. It's also, as fighter, like this has happened numerous times, like when Trump has attended events, fighters will win and then they'll ingratiate themselves to Trump. Like they will jump over the fence and they'll shake his hand. If you were an alien dropped on Earth and you could just see this and someone told you this is the President of the United States, if you could just see him at one of these UFC events, you'd think he was the most adored man in the world. That's a stark contrast to what we saw at the US Open last year when he was booed. He was also booed at the Thanksgiving NFL game between the Commanders and the Detroit Lions, I believe it was. The UFC gives him a safe haven to walk in and be absolutely worshipped as far as I can see. I know he was booed at or at least there was reports of him being booed at a UFC event at Madison Square Garden in I think it was UFC 244, so probably 2023. But there's also talk of the Knicks, the New York basketball team. They've made it to the NBA Finals. And there's talk of Trump and the reception he'd get if he showed up at MSG. And people think it would be an absolute disaster. So certainly UFC have given him a platform where he can walk out and look like he's the most adored man in the world. And as far as he's concerned, why not do that at the White House on my birthday and show the world how much I mean to these people? That certainly seems to be a part of it to me.
Mm-hmm. You know, talk about a fighter. I mean, that guy's a fighter. One of the, you know, most resilient human beings I've ever met in my life. And he, you know, he had the big Tyson fights and boxing matches at his place. So he's a fight fan. And then in 2015, when he decided he was going to run, he reached out to me and he said, called me and said, if you don't want to do this, I completely understand, but I would be honored if you would speak for me at the Republican convention.
Go back to Dana White, because I was listening to an interview with him on the New Yorker podcast recently, and he was asked about his association with Donald Trump, and he cut across the interviewer and said, no, hold on, this isn't an association. He is my friend. So where did this relationship come from?
Well, it's interesting. I actually do believe that. I do believe that these guys are like-minded. I think they see each other, a lot of themselves in each other. But there is a lot being made of in the lead up to this event that Trump allowed the UFC to put on events on his premises back in 2001 when nobody else would. Luke Thomas, a colleague of mine in the MMA space, who's been covering this extensively pretty much since Trump announced that this would be happening in July, he's went back to the records and there was no talk and no lauding of Trump for this 2001, these couple of events in 2001, up until 2016 when he was on the verge of becoming president-elect. So he thinks it's a lot of revisionist history to go back and underline, look at all these great things that Trump has done for them in the past. But certainly Dana White has spoken at the Republican National Convention on several occasions. You know, he has made no bones about being a great supporter of Trump. But there's also pieces of legislation that are getting pushed through the houses right now at a really rapid rate, and that is to aid Dana White's Zuffa Boxing, his boxing entity alongside Turki Al-Sheikh, and they have this Muhammad Ali Revival Act, which many in the boxing world believe will take away the rights of the boxers and financial transparency and, you know, allowing people to get paid what they're worth. This is being rushed through, according to people who are covering this, including John S. Nash, who says he hasn't seen something move through the houses this quickly. So it certainly seems to be a mutual, albeit genuine relationship these guys have, a mutually beneficial relationship.
Because I think people maybe forget, Pizzi, who aren't maybe familiar with MMA, is that there was a time when it was banned in the majority of states in Absolutely. America when it was bought by Dana White for just a couple of million dollars. You know, it was kind of not a worthless entity, but it was certainly nowhere near what it is today.
Yes, absolutely. And look, Dana White as a promoter has done amazing things. Back then, it's a very different guy to what we see now. Like, I mean, people who cover the sport week in, week out, I've been covering him for 16 years now. Like, there's a stark contrast to what Dana White was back then. You know, he was like a rabid dog pursuing this thing and, you know, speaking in every interview possible. The UFC has made astronomical amounts of money. I mean, they've signed this deal with Paramount Plus for $7.7 billion over 7 years. That's $1.1 billion a year. This is a massive, massive business now. And I suppose people would say he has lost his fastball in terms of being a promoter. But the funny thing about this event is it seems like he's the star of the show. He's on the cover of Time. And as you said, doing all these interviews with the New Yorker, with Rolling Stone, we haven't really seen Dana pursue the media like this in a very, very long time. So while we'd nearly be talking out of both sides of our mouth to criticize him for not doing this in the past and now suddenly doing it now, it is very different from the guy that we've seen in recent years.
And what's always really fascinated me about Dana White is that he says in interviews he grew up in Massachusetts, he was a Democrat, he's left-leaning. He actually still maintains he's that way today. So square circle for me, Pizzi.
Yeah, I don't really. I've never really thought that way myself. You know, he is, you know, you got to remember as well, the Trump affiliation with the UFC is really blown up since the pandemic. The UFC got a whole new audience during the pandemic because they were the only people putting on sports. They were people saying, we're not going to bow down to authority and all this kind of stuff. Like, it really jived well with the Trump people. This is the sport, their sport. They feel like this is what we are represented by. And I certainly think Trump feels that way as well. There is a feeling within MMA, within people covering the sport, that this could have a bad impact further down the line. You know, when the Trump presidency is over, you know, how will this be looked back in 10 years' time? Like, was this a good idea? I know a lot of people in America, you know, you look at the different leagues. Dana White has often said, oh, the NBA would love to do this, the NFL would love to do this, but they haven't. You know, like that is one thing they've tried to kind of toe the line to a certain degree, certainly to a degree far more prominent than the UFC have here with the big elaborate entrances and the adoration of Trump that we've seen at the events.
Let's talk about Joe Rogan, his criticism, which got a lot of headlines.
The White House thing is odd. I don't like it. I don't like the idea of fighting outside at all.
Well, there's problems with it.
And then
done it too many times.
June. Yeah. And it's D.C. And we looked it up the last time, like last year, same day, it was 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Do you think that does reflect broader concerns about this event and maybe how it is viewed amongst maybe Republicans, but indeed the wider UFC community?
Yes, I do think that. Like, I think obviously there's people I work with who are disgusted by the idea of this happening, you know, this kind of showing on the lawn and the idea that they're calling it UFC Freedom 250. We know that America's birthday is famously on July 4th, Independence Day. This is happening on June 14th, a Sunday, Donald Trump's birthday. It does feel as though this is specifically made for him as opposed to a celebration of the United States. On the other hand, as you mentioned, like 20 years ago, this sport was absolutely nothing. It's bizarre. It's completely bizarre to me to see this happening, to see it in such a prominent sport. Like when we got into this sport, it was kind of viewed like punk rock. We're nearly like the outcasts of the sports movement. And here they are on the lawn of the White House. It's pretty outlandish stuff, and nobody could have fathomed it getting to this level. But certainly there's a lot of people very upset that this is happening, no doubt about it.
Are you one of them? Are you uncomfortable by this spectacle? And what specific aspect of it do you not like?
That's the idea for me. Like, I mean, in terms of spectacle, like this is what sport is all about. We're just off a week of two boxers competing beside the pyramids in Egypt, you know, like from a certain point of view, like I'm intrigued by the spectacle of it. My worry is how is it viewed further down the line? You know, when are we alienating some of the fans of this sport by doing this? Because obviously Trump has the lowest approval rate, I think, in US presidential history. Like, how do these people feel about this? How do they feel about the sport being so closely aligned with it? My fear is that it will have bigger ramifications further down the line than it will on the night itself.
Which is what?
Well, that this sport is belong to a bygone era, that it is so closely linked with this kind of politics, which could age very badly, and they no longer want to view the sport, and it's kind of like an ick factor for people, if you will.
Mm-hmm, I get that. Do you feel that a lot of this is about distracting from all of the headlines that are, you know, politically negative for Donald Trump at the moment?
Well, I just think it is, as I said previously, it allows him to be seen as this adored figure. I have no doubt about it that when this event happens, there will be so many. Josh Hoka, for example, is a guy who has closely aligned himself to Trump. He, you know, he wears an American bandana out there. He has he's fighting Derek Lewis, who is apparently Donald Trump's favorite fighter. Like, you're going to see fighters jumping over the cage and getting their moment with Trump and honoring Trump in their post-fight speeches. I have no doubt about that. I'd imagine he will have one of those American badass entrances as well.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, but like, this is what I'm saying. Like, even you saying that, like, that proves that people will have a big reaction to this. And I just worry about the sport in general because of that, you know. I worry about the people at home going, oh, is this what this is? Because, look, we saw it here with Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor was adored, and then he had this constant outside of the cage, you know, the Nikita Hand civil case, all of this, hitting a guy in a bar. I think that the Irish view of MMA, he has kind of cast his shadow over the whole thing, and it's very hard for young fighters to break through because Irish people don't really want to open their arms to it anymore. So I'm applying that to a bigger scale with this UFC event, and that would be my fear in general, that this thing would cast such a large shadow over the sport that there would be no way back for a lot of people.
Pete C, thanks so much for joining us here today on News Talk Daily. Really enjoyed that conversation with you.
Thanks so much for having me, Ciara.
All right, until tomorrow morning. Take care. Bye-bye.